Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need
broken dreams, in hopelessness, in darkness, in days of difficulty, people on this planet need you. Lord, we pray that they would realize it, that they would turn to you. Father, we understand our part to play in that is to share truth, to sow seeds, to show kindness, that people might see that it is Jesus, only Jesus, who brings salvation. So God, would you have your way in this room now as we open your word? Lord, speak to us. Make us more like you before we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5 in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 5. On our final day of Serve the City weekend, I want to share some of the same thoughts from a message I preached 10 years ago when I came in view of a call as your pastor. And then I preached some of the same thoughts again 5 years ago. And here's the truth. If the Lord lets me stay, I'll preach them again in 5 years. Why? Because these are important words. It's truth that I want to share with you that bears repeating. And so on that first day, 10 years ago, the idea was to set the expectation and the goal that our calling is to serve the King and share Christ with the world. And that really is within our reach, not by our own power, not by our own strength, but by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And I'm happy to tell you 10 years later, I still believe the Holy Spirit can supernaturally empower you and I to change the world. He can empower us to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So 2 Samuel chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 22. Let me set the passage up for you really quickly. David has become king of Judah. And as David becomes king of Judah, there are 7 years where he is only king of Judah, not king of the northern kingdom, all Israel. He's king of southern kingdom, Judah. And then 7 years later, Ishbosheth is murdered, and David becomes the united king of all Israel. This is when they face a formidable enemy again. It's the second time they will face the Philistines. And so 2 Samuel chapter 5, David has his army, his mighty men. These are strong warriors. They have been to battle multiple times, and here they are ready to go to battle again to defeat the Philistines. And look at what it says happens. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up, but go around to the rear, come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. It's an incredible passage where David and these mighty men are ready to go to battle, and God says, nope. David inquires of the Lord. He stops and says, "God, are you ready?" And God says, "No, you wait. You go wait around behind the trees. And when you hear marching in the tops of those trees, you will know that the army of God has gone out before you, and then you go to battle." Can you imagine that? You're standing there and you hear that. Would you do this with me? Now, don't tap the person in front of you, just the pew. Everybody, come on together. Let's do it together. Come on, a little louder. Don't stop, but think about the fact that you're sitting there and you begin to hear this in the tops of trees. And in the middle of that, hearing that sound, you know that the army of God has gone before you. Thank you. And as they do, you are ready to go to war. Can you imagine what would embolden you or empower you more than standing and feeling the rustling of some wind, seeing the trees begin to blow, and then hearing that sound? And they went, and it's a great victory. You can read it for yourselves. But even though David and his men were strong, they were skilled, they were courageous, but yet God showed up and brought them victory supernaturally. Listen, this is important. The very first phrase I ever had put on the screen when I was coming here to become your pastor, I wasn't even your pastor yet, was this little phrase, and here it is again: life is supernatural. If there's anything I would want you to remember this last decade, and anything I want you to remember today, is that life is supernatural. God is at work in incredible ways that we don't see or understand. There are things happening around you you can't see. There are things happening in our community that we can't see. There are things at work in people's lives that we don't understand, because God is supernaturally at work. Now, we have a part to play. We have and we will continue to serve our community. It's what we do. We have and we will continue to share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus. It's what we do. We have in the past, we do now, and we will in the future pray for others in our community, and we'll make that a priority. We have and we will continue to train and disciple believers. We will continue to plan and promote and invite and extend hands to people to come and worship with us. And the reality is, we're blessed at First Baptist. Between our early service today, such a wonderful crowd, and then here today, let me say this: we have a group of smart, strong, skilled people in our faith family. But please don't miss this. It is God who draws people to himself. It's nothing you or I do. It is God who saves people from their sins. He calls us to extend the hand, but his supernatural power does the work. So we must do what David did. David inquired of the Lord, it says in 2 Samuel. We must inquire of the Lord every single day to stop and say, "God, what is next for me? What is your plan today? God, what do you want from me today? Who do I share with today? Who do I love? Who do I serve today?" Can I tell you, if you're here today and you're trying to clean up your life on your own and you think coming to church is a good first step, coming to church is a good first step, but church won't clean your life up. Only the supernatural power of God will do that. He makes us new and transforms us. It's the work of God that does that. Let me give you a quick example. Most of you know that a couple of years ago now, 2.5 years ago, I had open heart surgery to replace a heart valve that we had learned. I was 47 when I found out I had a birth defect and had been there my whole life, didn't know it, but had to have a valve replaced. And so it was a shock to our family. So Lily and I sat down with a surgeon we were sent to from here. We were sent to Huntsville, and we sat with him, and he said, "Listen, I can fix your heart valve. I can replace it. I can do open heart surgery, take care of that. I do dozens of these a year. I can do it, and I'll do it well. It'll be no problem. However, there's somebody else that I want to send you to who is the chief of cardiothoracic surgery at UAB School of Medicine. He holds the Kirkland Chair for Cardiac Thoracic Surgery for UAB. He teaches how to replace this very heart valve to hundreds of people a year, and he performs it hundreds and hundreds of times a year. Listen, I'm no brain surgeon, but I wanted that heart surgeon, right? You get it? That's the guy you want to do it. And so we went, and he did it, and he was an amazing surgeon. I was so blessed to have him and was thankful for that. But now picture this heart surgeon who was smart, strong, confident, courageous. He knew he could do it, and he did it. But picture him saying, "You know what? I've got my own heart valve issue. I think I'll do surgery on myself." I don't think so. You can't. Why? Because listen, no matter how smart you are, no matter how courageous you are, no matter how strong or how skilled you are, that cannot be done. And the same is true in our lives. No matter how smart, skilled, courageous, or resourced you are as an individual, no matter how smart, skilled, courageous, and resourced we are as a church, we will never be the ones who draw people to Jesus. God supernaturally changes lives, and we must not forget that. Now, we continue to need God to supernaturally meet in our lives, move in our lives, and he needs to show us how we are to help make that happen for others. Our calling is to sow seeds of the gospel that he will then take and water and grow. So there are two passages that I want to share with you today as a reminder. We share these two passages almost every year as a reminder, but I want to share these with you for us to know why it is so important that you and I live the life of service and calling that God has for us. The first is Matthew chapter 22. Beginning in verse 34, you'll recognize the passage if you've been in church very long. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets.'" Now, we know this: love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then other places in the scripture, it says heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says love your neighbor as yourself. We call this the great commandment. It's love God with our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the theme of our entire year of service and ministry this year. You saw the worship team wearing the t-shirts that say, "Love God, love people." The image will show up right here behind me on the wall. This image is a reminder for us. The theta symbol is theos. It stands for God. Love God, love people. It's what we are about. It is the definition of the great commandment. And what Jesus told us, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? I asked this question in January. I want to ask it again. Who is your neighbor? The Good Samaritan story of the scripture tells us that our neighbor is anybody you are aware of. So here's three definitions of who your neighbor is. First, it's people who live near you. They're your neighbor. Second, it's people who live far away, but you're aware of them. And we're pretty much aware of everyone on the planet. So they're your neighbor. And then last, it's people who are near you, but who are not like you. There's plenty of people near us who are not like you, but they're your neighbor. So when the scripture says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, our actions, our kindness, our gospel influence is what helps make the world a better place. It's our actions, our kindness, our love, our grace that's extended, the truth of God's word that helps the Good Samaritan, us to be the Good Samaritan and help the one who's injured on the side of the road. But what if our living for Jesus didn't just lead us
to help someone in need. But what if our communal living for Jesus, us doing it together, what if it just made the road to Jerusalem a better place? What if it just made the road a safer and better place? We have the power collectively, by living the gospel message, to influence our community in a powerful way. And that's what God has called us to do. That's what Serve the City Weekend has been about. That's what every day of our lives is about. The second passage, besides the great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, is found in Matthew 28. It says this in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, if you've been around very long, you know that the other passage is the Great Commandment, and this is called the Great Commission. Jesus commissions us to go and make disciples. Disciples, not converts. We're not just supposed to meet someone, say, repeat this prayer, give your life to Jesus, check, we're done. That's a convert. We're called to make disciples, not converts. It's a process. It's relationship. It's more than just a decision. I would encourage you to write this down. Discipleship starts with and ends with a relationship, and it has a decision to follow Jesus in the middle. Let me say it again. Discipleship starts with relationship, it ends with relationship, and there's a decision to follow Jesus right in the middle. So if you're going to make disciples, it is never about a transaction. It is always about a relationship. So the Great Commandment and the Great Commission are a great strategy for us as a faith family, and it's a great strategy for you and me as individuals. But hear me say this, strategy cannot be fulfilled by attending church. Strategy requires the Holy Spirit at work in your life, the Holy Spirit empowering and at work in my life, and every last one of us seeking to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Where we say, take my life, Lord, let it be. Take my hands, take my feet, take my mouth. I'm yours, Lord, take all of me. So that's why we have served the city each year. It's not meant to be a once a year event where we can check the box that our class served someone. It's just meant to be a gospel primer, a primer and a simple reminder that we are called to a lifestyle of service. Listen, friends, to be the believer that God has called you to be, you must have a servant's heart. In John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says these words, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let me say it again. Jesus says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, you've heard that before probably, but do you remember the context of the passage? If you go back and look at what comes before this in John chapter 13, you will realize that Jesus has just taken off his outer robe. He has just got down on his hands and knees with water in a basin, and he has just washed off animal manure, mud, dirt, and filth from the feet of his disciples. He has bent over to wash their feet. And then he has, from this position on his knees, that of a servant, he has this conversation with them where he says a few things. And then he says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Can you imagine? So Jesus washing their feet, and he says, "You are blessed if you will do as I do." So does that mean we're all supposed to wash each other's feet? That you can, but that's not necessarily what that means. It's the idea that we are to assume the posture of a servant and share Christ's love in humility and with his authority to everyone that we find. We are called to be humble and under the authority and work from the authority of God in our lives. It's hard to think that you can be a servant and have authority, but that's exactly what the scripture teaches. We have the authority of the Holy Spirit empowering us that allows us to humbly come before others, to serve them, to wash their feet, to care for them. So that's why we've done the things we've done this weekend. It was to be a way to serve others. We started Friday night with Maker's Child. Maker's Child's a respite night for special needs families. We had multiple special needs children and adults in the room, from little, I think around 2 years old, special needs kids, all the way up to some special needs folks in their 60s and everything in between. And we had 70 volunteers here who were serving them and loving on them and encouraging them. They were on their knees being the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, I tell you that for this reason. I had two different parents come up to me towards the end of the night, two different ones, a lady for one and a man for another, with tears in their eyes, saying, "Thank you so much. You have no idea the difference this makes for our family and the difference this makes for our child." Now, I tell you that to say this. It was not hard. We got to come and laugh and enjoy and have fun and just give 2 hours of our time, but be servants and make a difference, a gospel difference in someone's life. Yesterday morning, a group met and took little cards that are little ways to give away free popsicles from a local ice cream shop. And it says, "God loves you and so do we." And they distributed and went throughout our city and gave those away. And you may think, well, how in the world does that really make a difference? Is that really like washing someone's feet? So to speak, it's taking just a moment to give away a $2 gift to someone to remind them that God loves them and that he has their interest at heart and he desires for them to come to know him. Then yesterday afternoon, we had the foster family blessing, where we had over right at 90 people from different foster families together at the Marshall Baptist Retreat Center, about 22, 23 volunteers down there serving them, giving them a fun day that they could enjoy. Parents so appreciative of that. Today, thank you notes have been written to multiple places. We call the Barnabas Project. We'll deliver those encouragement notes this week. We have the Faith Family Blessing that's taking place right now at Central Baptist and at the Bridge. We get to be a part of that. And then the Great Grocery Giveaway to come, and the Cow Bus Ministry to give away more a little later on. I tell you all that to say this. All of those things are designed to just be a bridge to relationship. None of those are meant to be some slick marketing campaign. None of them are meant to be some incredible advertisement for our church. It's meant to be an open, extended hand, a bridge to relationship. Just to begin a conversation that can start so that people will know God loves them, so do we, and they can be encouraged by that. So listen, serving Jesus and sharing Jesus, that needs to be our goal as individuals for the remainder of the year. Your simple actions, my simple actions, our relationship building, along with the supernatural power of God at work in people's lives, can and does make an eternal impact. I want to give you some specific examples. Now, I could give you some of where it's happened right here in our church, but the truth is God has used some of those simple ways to see people come to Christ and be here, and I don't want to put them on the spot. That's their story to tell. So I'm going to tell you some stories about not near here, just so it doesn't embarrass anybody. But before Lily and I moved to Albertville, we were serving in Maine, and we made a decision that our churches we planted there, that we would build the entire ministry around serving the community, about being someone who says we will wash the feet of those around us, and that way they will come to know us in relationship. We'll get a chance to share the gospel. At some point, they'll come to Christ in that relationship, and then we'll continue in the relationship of discipleship. And so I want to share a couple of stories to encourage you for just a moment. The first one I've shared before, but I'll share again. Her name is Lania Nottingham. Back around now, it's been probably 17 years ago, we met Lania. She lived in a mobile home park in Augusta, Maine. And we had a group of visitors from Alabama who were there helping us. And we had went to Walmart and purchased light bulbs. This was before LED bulbs were needed and used and all that. We were still using the old style of light bulbs. So you could buy four for a dollar. So we put a quarter light bulb, it cost us a quarter, in a bag with a little flyer that said something cheesy like, "We hope this helps brighten your day. God loves you and so do we." And then we shared a little gospel message. It was cheesy at best, but we did it. And we left it on everyone's door, just gently hung it there so the bulb wouldn't break, and left and went on. We got a couple of, irate phone calls from people saying, "I can't believe you left a non-green light bulb at my door. You hate the environment. You don't love God." We got some of that, a little bit of that living in Maine. But then here's what happened. That was a Saturday. The next night for church, we only met at night, in walks Lania, this woman in her mid-60s. And she comes in and she says, you left me a light bulb yesterday, so here I am. And I said, tell me your story. She said, well, yesterday morning I woke up, went into my kitchen, flipped the switch, the bulb went out. I didn't have any light bulbs. An hour later, you put one on my door. I thought that's God. I said, I believe it is God. And so she came in, and within a matter of building relationship with her, in a matter of weeks, she was led to the Lord. We baptized her in the lake right there. It's a beautiful case. Listen, I tell you that to say this. You know what started that? 25 cents. A quarter. With something so simple that was an open door for relationship, and in a matter of weeks, this was a woman living for Jesus. Just that simple. I'll tell you about another family really quickly that we met at in the Capitol Park. Augusta Capitol sits on a hill, and there's a beautiful greenway in front of it, and all kinds of things happen. So there was an event, so we set up a table out there, and we were giving away bubbles, and we were giving away temporary tattoos. Now, calm down if you don't like tattoos. It's okay. They were given to us by Jim Mitchell right here from Mitchell Vending in Albertville. He shipped a bunch up and said, give these away. Use it to share the gospel. So we did. So we had bubbles and temporary tattoos, and we gave them to this family, the McLean family, and it was just a matter of something just so simple as a little bubble. And next thing you know, within a matter of weeks and relationship invested, multiple people coming to Jesus, being baptized, investing themselves in the work of God. Why'd it start? 10 cents bubbles, free tattoo. Just like that. It was an open door for relationship. And I could keep going. I'll tell you about two more. One, we bought an ice cream truck while we were living in Maine. We decided the best way to get to know people is with something that's close to their heart, and there is no donut truck, so we bought an ice cream truck. So I would have if we could have, but so we bought an ice cream truck, and it was not a fancy ice cream truck. Don't think nice and sweet music. It was a 1973 Dodge Ram Central Maine Power truck that had been used by the power company. The inside was still painted safety orange. I mean, it was a power truck, and then we put on the back of it a 1949 Good Humor ice cream freezer, and so this together, it looked so strange. It was painted red, white, and blue, had little flags on it, put a railroad bell on the front. It would ring ding, ding, ding like that. We called it the ding, ding truck. And so the ding, ding truck would come. And the very first day we went to Sam's, we loaded up ice cream sandwiches, quarter apiece, stuck them in there. We went to a local park. We sat there. We rang the bell. Nobody came. And then we got on the little loudspeaker and said, it's free. And everybody came. And so we were giving away ice cream. It was great. We gave it away. And there was one lady who was left standing there. Her name was Nancy. She was there with a young child. And when everyone walked away, she walked up to me and she said, God sent you here today. I said, what do you mean? She said, I just found out I have cancer. And I have not been in church in many, many years. I need help. And from there, a relationship was born. Things happened. God used that. That's it. It was just from a 10, 15 cent ice cream sandwich from Sam's Club. Just that simple. It opens a door for relationship. One last story, the Valancourt family. The Valancourts, I spoke to Facebook Messenger to one of them just this week, one of the kids. But the Valancourt family lived in Gardner, Maine, and we had mission teams. Some of you came and helped us. You put something on their door. Some of you did. We had every house in that entire city, about 2,000 homes, mapped out. We knew every road, how many houses exactly, and at least three times a year, we would leave a gift and an invitation to the gospel and an invitation to church. And so we did this faithfully year after year. We left everything from ice cream scoops to jar openers to bags of popcorn to light bulbs to phone cards. This was 20 years ago, some of this. It's back when you had to have a phone card to make. All those kinds. We left all kinds of things. Nothing expensive, but just left gifts. 2 years into our ministry, we're setting up for church. We're in our third location. We were in a small building. We outgrew it, moved to another building, outgrew it, moved to another church that we met on Sunday nights. And we're there, and in walks the Valancourt family, and he's got one of the flyers in his hand. He said, hey, this is not the right address. We had to work hard to find you. And I looked at it. I said, this is 2 years old. He said, yes, it's been sitting on my desk for 2 years in my house. We've been thinking about coming to church for 2 years. And here we finally are. I say that to you to say this. It took 2 years of simple little ways to try to open the door to relationship to finally see any of that come to fruition. I could tell you story after story after story, but I simply want you to know that when you perform some act of kindness to your neighbor, when you perform some act of kindness to a stranger, when you make a difference to someone on your ball team, when you do something for someone of your students in your classroom, any act of kindness that is followed by an invitation to Jesus, I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily work on our timetable. It might happen in 24 hours, it might happen in 2 years, but I'm telling you, God, if we will keep sowing seeds in the garden, God will grow his garden. And our responsibility is to love people and speak truth and show grace. And I promise you, God will do that. Now, I say that to you to say this. God doesn't need our church to organize us to do that every year for a weekend. This is just the primer to remind us that every last one of us, 365 days a year, we are called to be a servant on mission for Jesus. And so I want to remind you and myself of Romans chapter 12, verse 10, my favorite scripture in Romans, and chapter 12 is my favorite chapter, and verse 10 is my favorite verse. And it says this, outdo one another in showing honor. My goal is any room I walk into is to, I want to show more honor to people in that room than anybody else. That should be our goal. But what if we said this, let's outdo one another in showing service. Any room you walk into, you say, I will serve the people in this room in some way. It doesn't matter if I'm over them in authority or under them in authority or equal with them in authority. In some way, I'm going to serve these friends, these neighbors, these strangers. I will serve somebody in this room in the name of Jesus. Listen, you can do it. I can do it. God will use us for his kingdom's purpose. So I invite you to not think, well, we gave out a couple of hundred cards yesterday for free popsicles and nobody came to church because of today, it didn't work. No, don't think that way. You think that we are sowing gospel seeds and God is growing his garden in his due time. It's the Holy Spirit at work in you. If you're over someone, love them and serve them. If you work for someone, love them and serve them. If you have people in your home, love them and serve them. People in your community, neighbors, take an opportunity to live that out. Would you pray with me? With our heads bowed, let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, when we sing, let your kingdom come and pray and ask God that his kingdom would come, I am 100% convinced that he lets us be the answer to our own prayer. By the power of his Holy Spirit at work in us, he answers that by allowing us to go, by calling us to go and allowing us to go. So friend, let me simply ask you this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed, who's your neighbor? Who do you see near you that's not like you? Who do you see near you that you know needs Jesus or a word or just an encouragement? Maybe it's someone who's near you and is like you, but you just want to be an encouragement to them. The gospel is for the saved and the lost. Everyone needs to be reminded of the kindness of the gospel, Christian or non-Christian. So may we live that out for those around us. Maybe for you, with your heads bowed, you've got someone on your heart that you're thinking, I need to begin to continually and regularly invest in showing kindness and truth and grace to them, because I fully expect God's going to let me build a relationship with them and point them to Jesus. If that's you, would you come and pray for them? Maybe it's a relative, a friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's someone who lives down the road you've never met, but they're the one. They're your one. You know God's telling you. Maybe for you, it's that you want a renewed commitment that your life is a life of ministry, that it's not just about let's go on a mission trip halfway around the world, though let's go and we will go, but there is mission to be done here. The light that shines the farthest shines brightest near home. So if we're making a difference around the world, oh, we surely can make a difference right here. Would you join me in praying that our faith family will always be willing to wash the feet of those around us? That our faith family will always be willing to take off, to be honest, to take off the expectation and the idea that most people in the community have of what a First Baptist Church is. That we can take that off and show them service and humility and love and a genuine group of people that we are. Listen, this is some of the best kept secret in town, this faith family. You love one another, you care for one another, you humbly serve one another. May we let the community and those around us see it. May the Lord give us an opportunity to live that out. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. You're going to become an official part of our church. If that's the case, you come. I'll be right down front. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus and you want to be baptized. Come and we'll make that public. Maybe you just need some prayer or you want to pray for someone that you can influence from the community. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond as we sing this song that says, "Take my life, Lord, I am yours." Father God, please have your way in our lives right now. May people come who need to come and pray. May people come who need to make a decision. But Father, may no one come that doesn't need to. May we simply be obedient to what you tell us to. And Lord, may you use us all to go and make disciples and to love you with our whole heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.